This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Patrick Johnson.
Pointer recently, just a week ago as a matter of fact, posted a list of 515 unreliable news websites built from pre-existing databases compiled by journalists, fact-checkers, and researchers around the country. The managing editor of Pointer.org, Barbara Allen, has now written a message to readers saying they've taken down that list because they're receiving complaints from those on the list. And I think that makes for kind of an interesting discussion about, first, the idea of trying to provide a list of unreliable news websites and maybe the things that can go wrong with it. It kind of makes me think of in terms of how once in a while, we'll hear some politicians say that journalists should be licensed and that you need to be licensed to be a journalist. It seems like that same sort of thing, people making a judgment on who is considered a journalist and who is not.
Oh, it's interesting. Who knew that a list of unreliable sources would be unreliable? I mean, we're trying to figure out and sort through and to see, you know, what is legitimate and what isn't. But when I initially saw this list, I thought it was a step in the right direction, at least. I think we're at this a crucial point in our industry and in our public discourse where we really have to separate the real from the phony. And just remarking from what's on that list, I mean, and you know, not to show my bias, but no surprise, websites like Breitbart, one known as DonaldTrumpNews.co make the list. And I think it just goes to show that really this is a productive enterprise. It's profitable. It makes money. And fooling the public or inciting bias and fake news is definitely a profitable entity. And it's something that is something we have to fight against, this uphill battle that we continue to face right now.
Yeah, and I would actually imagine, and I don't know who complained for PolitiFact to take or Pointer to take down this list, which it was compiled by a bunch of other databases, and they were going through really to just try to sort out which ones were still active and which ones had already been taken down. But I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't the Drudge Reports and the Breitbarts that complained. The ones that are listed as biased, right? So the Pointer had several different categories. So mm-hmm. There's bias, there's fake, there's satire, conspiracy. And I would be willing to bet that it's the ones that were listed as bias or conspiracy or unreliable that were the ones that had the issue. I don't think it would be the satire websites, which I don't see them having an issue with being on a list, listing them as satire. But it's a question of what is bias. And these people likely might not feel that they're biased.
Right. It depends on the intent. I mean, some of these exist as satire and for a good joke and a good read. But I think we've just so blurred the lines these days that I commended the group that put together this list, at least initially, to really try to combat this, because I really think there's such a great confusion and misunderstanding about what really is legitimate news and journalism and what isn't.
Well, to Patrick's point, places such as Breitbart and the Drudge Report think that, for example, CBS News or NPR or other news organizations are biased in a way, and they feel like they're reporting the unbiased truth. So you're probably correct, and we don't know for sure, but that would seem like the type of organization that would complain and say, we're not biased. If you're going to label us as biased, you have to call, for example, CNN biased, because they're biased in a different direction. Even though I think an objective viewer would look at CNN as being objective, just as you would with the other organizations I mentioned too.
Right. And one of the things that I really liked about this list was that they were very open and transparent about what they were labeling and why it was being labeled what it was. So at the bottom of the list, they had posted the definitions that they were using to try to make their classifications as objective as possible. And they did it from every single source. So, for example, bias was labeled as sources that come from a particular point of view and may rely on propaganda, decontextualized information, and opinions distorted as facts, right? It's not them saying that something is reported wrong. They're saying it meets these criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are easy things that you can look at, right? If something doesn't have all of the information and they're taking it out of context, or if it's an opinion but they're showing it as fact, right? Those are things that you can objectively look at to categorize it.
And what I appreciated was this was seemed to be a serious kind of academic approach to really trying to separate those. I mean, you can publish, and you're more than welcome to publish any bias or opinion online. But I think, again, this is an approach and attempt to try to separate the two, because I think, you know, once again, many Americans, viewers, readers, and consumers of news are not able to distinguish between that. And I just saw this as maybe a serious first step in trying to distinguish those two.
Maybe we need more civics classes in schools, because I still have the concern that it's the same as trying to license journalists. Who is to say what is right and what is wrong? Clearly, for example, The Onion would be satire, and you would hope most people would know that name by now and recognize it as satire. But who is to say what is biased and unreliable versus reliable?
Well, and when you have these websites they look very believable. They have, you know, News 24/7, something that looks like it might be legitimate. And, you know, I think just with consumers these days, you have to be scrutinizing with selecting your news as you're doing when you buy that next car or appliance. I mean, you need to look for performance and credibility and reliability and track record.
Well, you also need to look at, if something is shared on social media, you need to look beyond the headline. And I think that's where a large part of the problem is, that people never actually read online articles. They read the headline and maybe a little blurb, and that's enough to enrage them, and they don't dig deeper.
Well, that was one of the other things that I really liked about the list. And I know Open Sources, which is another one of these databases, has been labeling clickbait, which I appreciate that we're now – that's starting to enter the conversation, where it's not necessarily false news. It's not biased, but the headlines are in such a way that they're not telling the accurate story. People are reading just the headline, getting – you know, inflamed by it or whatever, and then sharing it, right? And that's how that goes. If you read the actual story, oftentimes it has nothing to do with the headline, mm-hmm. right? Or it's not nearly as dramatic as it sounds. And I see these arguments happening on Facebook based on headlines. And the question always gets asked partway through, did you even read the article? And usually the answer is no. But I've noticed Facebook has started doing this too, mm-hmm. where they will, if somebody shares something from certain websites, a link will come up underneath it, kind of trying to put it in context, or a fact-checking article about it.
Have you ever clicked on a headline? I know I have. Clicked on a headline, and you read the entire article looking for the point made in the headline, and you just never find it in there.
Yes.
So
yes,
often.
I have. Yes.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.